Right or MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I got Tyler Bowe in the house.
Hey.
The best intern slash MMA, I don't know, encyclopedia, CB Gold is here.
What's up, guys?
And we have the beautiful, you have 1-0, right? 1-0 fighter. Shani Rush is with us, who's got a fight coming up. Probably one of the hottest women in MMA and around. A lot of times women are hot. Like, you're like, there's like a, you know, for like comedians, you're like, yeah, he's hot for a comic. and a lot of times for fighters, like, yeah, she's hot for a fighter, but she's legit hot for hot. Oh, so, thanks. I want to thank our sponsor, D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher. It is a company created to help you optimize your life. Look, people, I've been saying it for weeks now. D-Cypher is the lifestyle firm designed to help you make your everyday life easier. They specialize in individualized consulting designed to help you maximize your potential. Call for strategic advising and support, whether it's for help with a short-term focus goal or for coaching or long-term management. Among other services, they offer life coaching, mental coaching, contract negotiations, personal advising. Look, not sure your needs fall into their realm of expertise? There's only one way to find out. Call them today at 1-888-731-COACH. That's 1-888-731-2622. Also, D-Cypher Life is their newly released audiobook, and it's now available for download. If you want to make a truly a positive change in your life, you need to hear this book. You can download D-Cypher Life from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, or directly from their website on di-cypher.com. I recommend this book to everybody. It's fucking hilarious and has truly honest insight to everyday problems we all face. And it's in audio form. You can listen anywhere. Also, tip a fighter. Look, fighters are underpaid. We got to help make these fighters more money, okay? So now we can do something about it. We can tip them. We can give them money. Tipafighter.com. Fighters, you're out there. You're busting your ass, okay? You're working 2-3 jobs. Why not join Tip a Fighter and have the fans reward you for all your hard work? A lot of hard work you're doing. We need to give you some money. So go to tipafighter.com at tipafighter. Boom. I just got back from Vegas Saturday. It's been a crazy, crazy week. I after the show, we had a show Wednesday. I had a show that night at some bar gig, Eric Allegria's crazy bar gig. And it was one of those gigs where I pull into the gig and there's like the garage opens in the back. I'm like, oh, there's parking in the back. Next thing you know, I'm stuck behind the gig, okay? It actually, the garage closes, and I'm in some residential place, and I can't get out. And some guy's like, yo, you need help getting out? I'm like, yeah, can you help me? He goes, sucks for you. Guess you're going to have to wait till someone leaves. So now I'm knocking on people's doors, right? Going, hey, can you please help me out? And so some guy's like, thinks I'm like robbing him.
Wait, this is like a gated community?
It's a gated community in the back of a bar. Like, so I got stuck. I'm like, what if no one's here? I have a flight at 7 in the morning. I'm going to miss my fucking flight to Vegas. So luckily, some guy let me out. Then I'm doing the bar gig. And then all of a sudden, I hear from the crowd, did you ever get out? That fucking guy. So then, what an asshole. So I tell the whole bar the story what happened. They're all dying laughing because they know exactly what happened. So that was good. But it was one of those gigs where I'm like, I have to go from the stage. And no one's like, no, stay. That's always the best. People want you to stay.
Yeah.
You know, so that was that. Then I flew to Vegas the next morning. I saw Gina, the girl I'm dating.
She's hot.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Like, that's always good when hot girls think your girl's hot.
Yeah.
Yes. She's a very attractive girl. We have a lot of fun together. She's super cool. And I showed that night, right? So, which I saw CB on the way over there. And it's at the LA Comedy Club. The whole place holds 150. I'd say 150 showed up. I maxed it out, which was great. And it was fun. Like, John Alessio came, who's never seen me perform. And I love John Alessio. I'm a big fan of him. But he's now becoming a cop, which I knew that. He joined the police department. So I'm like, hey, I'm on stage. I'm like, John, I hear you're going to be a cop. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, good. You can finally beat someone.
Oh.
So everybody was going nuts. And then
no chokes, though. Tell him no chokes.
And then Randy Couture was in the back with his beautiful girlfriend, Mindy. And so I was saying, Randy, it's nice that you brought your granddaughter to the show.
Oh.
And then I was like, Randy, you know, you're a legend. You've beaten so many, you know, you've beaten Chuck Liddell, you've beaten Tito Ortiz, you've beaten Alzheimer's. It's like, I was going nuts. I was having a blast. It was a lot. And then Sarah McMahon actually was there. So I mentioned, Sarah is fucking jacked. I mean, she has these arms. And then I don't know. I always think of her as a really sweet girl. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really make fun of her. And then she texts me, hey, that show was awesome. You know you could make fun of me. Please make fun of me. So I was like thinking of Sarah McMahon jokes the whole week. And then I ran into her. I'm like, you know, Sarah McMahon's arms are so big. the last five guys she jerked off lost their cocks.
Oh my God.
But I like Sarah a lot. So I saw Sarah and I saw Heather Jo Clark. And then I had a meeting with Fight Pass, which went really well.
Oh, nice.
So we're in discussions about some stuff.
Was Sage Northcutt there?
Sage Northcutt was, yeah, he was there. He's actually the greeter. He was there thanking everybody. In the middle of the meeting, he actually brought donuts for everybody.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
So I saw Burcheck and Mercedes. I went out with them. Me and Gina went out with Anthony and Mercedes and Heather and Heather's boyfriend and some cool people. And then the MMA Awards, they went really well. The sketches went really well. I was really happy to be there. I was psyched. I got Hanato booked as a special guest speaker. And that was so fucking funny because he did this joke. First of all, people were dying laughing and other people were confused because they didn't know if he was really a 27-time world champion. Like, who is this crazy Brazilian guy? And that made me laugh even harder. Like, yeah. People were laughing at me laughing. Like, the whole crowd was looking at me. Like, the whole section was the laugh. I was tearing up. He started talking about how Johnny Hendricks and Tyron Woodley got into a wrestling match in college. And supposedly, Woodley bit Hendricks' hand. And that's why Hendricks won. And then he says, but the reason he bit his hand is because he put barbecue sauce on his hand before the fight.
Tyron couldn't resist.
And he kept saying Bubba Jenks. He kept yelling out Bubba Jenks. That was great. Then afterwards, I saw the Diaz brothers at the after party, which is cool. And I was like, Nate, how come you didn't come to the award show? He's like, I wasn't invited. I'm like, first of all, like, you're not invited to the... Last year, I asked him, I'm like, hey, Nate, you want to present an award? And he goes, yeah, and I want to win one too, even though he wasn't even nominated.
These guys don't even show up for media events when they're obligated to. So
I know.
It's cool that they were there.
And then I flew back the next morning at 7 in the morning to coach wrestling for the kids. And the kids did good. They came in second place in the tournament. But the match everyone wanted. So I think I've talked about this on the show. There's my best kid, who I'm convinced is like the best kid, one of the best kids in the state. This kid, Max. He's a beast, super nice kid, just a pleasure to coach. Never had to raise my voice one time in 3 years. Always wants to work hard. He's so good that like no one else can really get to his level. I have to have the coaches wrestle with him. I have to wrestle with him. With a fucking torn ACL, I'm wrestling with this kid. And then there's this girl for Chaminade who is a beast. And I'm talking about a beast. Like, she's just huge. And Max beat her the first time, 2-1. And she's beaten him the next two times. And I'm like, I'm just thinking she's like a judo champion. I mean, because she's just doing upper body throws. She's all upper body. She's doing things that you're not supposed to do in wrestling. Like, you're on bottom. She's reaching back, grabbing the head. And her hips are that good where it's working for her. So I asked Ronda Rousey's mom when she was here, how do I defeat this girl? Like, and then she gave me a couple tips. Well, it was the final match. And it's Max versus her. And they're going at it. And this girl catches him, you know, with a takedown, with a throw, which I'm telling Max, don't lock up. You lock up with this girl, you're getting thrown. That's how powerful she is. Like, yeah. I'm getting thrown as the coach if they lock up. That's how... So they lock up, and then she takes him down, and she gets him on the bottom, and she throws in her hooks, her legs, and a rear naked choke. And so she starts fucking choking him. So I'm flipping out. I'm like, ref, what's a rear naked choke? And he's like, oh, so he takes away one point. I go, how are you a referee when you're letting kids throw rear naked chokes? I'm losing my mind because my kid's getting choked out in the wrestling finals. And then he starts yelling at me, one more, you know, yell at you, you're out of here. Like, he's screaming at me. So Max ends up losing 5-4 in like the final match to this girl. It was a tough match. So afterwards, I Googled this girl. I'm like, how do I think that I have this greatest kid?
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe. So I Googled the girl, right? Greco-Roman national champion.
She's got a Sherdog. Right. She's got a profile on Sherdog.
Started wrestling when she was 5. Became national champion when she was 8. In the boys and girls division.
Wow.
So this girl, she's legit. I mean, and of course, and she wrestles, the whole gym was yelling, her name is Kaja. Kaja. It was like Vision Quest was shooting. Basically, like, so this girl.
Did Max get a nosebleed?
She's unbelievable. Like, she's, her name is Kaja Osteen at 140 pounds, Long Beach. She, you know, in the nationals, Greco-Roman, she ended up tech falling both, beats her opponents, 2 technical falls, 13-0, 11-0, 20 seconds pin over a tough opponent. Like, she's just, So I actually, you know, the fact that Max even beat her this year and like the matches he lost, he was winning in the third and then losing. He just got caught with the throws.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Maybe I do have, you know, he's wrestling kids on that level. So that was that, you know, but it was still like, you know, and then I'm looking at it. There's like, you Google her name, like five-time, it just keeps going. Five-time yeah. national champion, Greco-Roman champion, freestyle champion, like ranked in the country. I'm like, okay. So it's not just, I thought she was just some black belt in judo.
Yeah.
But which is still really hard, not just some black belt in judo. But I was like, okay. So then after that, I went to the Comedy Store that night. I had to follow Dane Cook. The show was Judd Apatow, Dane Cook, me, Marc Maron. And it was cool. Like Dane did 45 minutes. I had to go on after him. He destroyed. And, you know, I was so tired, I didn't get in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, just do my fucking act. Killed it. Then hosted the haha. Fucking rocked that. And then last night did a youth hostel in Hollywood, which was like, actually, comics were bombing on this hostel. I got him. It was funny. There was this Asian girl. I was like, where are you from? Like, no one even spoke English, but a couple of people did. She's like, oh, I'm from Korea. I'm like, oh, I've been to Korea. I've been to Seoul. I did comedy for the military there twice. She's like, oh, I hate the Americans there. I hate the troops. I'm like, you hate the troops now because you don't remember the Korean War. But when fucking Kim Jong fuckhead comes and invades your country, you're not going to hate the American troops so much. And then everyone starts applauding and it became this whole thing. And she was laughing. She was super cute. Anyway, enough about me. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I just been doing a lot of college gigs lately. I was out in, where was I? I was in Miami. I flew into Miami, did a college there. I came back. I did a show at the HaHa and the Ice House this weekend. And I wish I could have joined you in Vegas, but it didn't work out with scheduling. So it's all good, but glad to be back in the studio, man.
Nice. Well, good to have you back, man. And CB, what's going on with you?
Spent the week in Vegas, was getting excited for the fights, even though the arena ended up pretty much empty.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They actually cut out, like, the last 10 rows of the floor and cut out certain sections completely. So when I checked in, they actually moved me up, like, 6 rows on the floor. So I was, like, 6 or 7 rows from the cage. They had one little section where a lot of fighters were. Anthony Berchek was there, Ryan Benoit, Alex Chambers was over there. Bunch of that. The fights were really cool. The only one I didn't see was the Roy Nelson fight.
Why?
Because I went to get food.
Right.
strangely enough, during the Nelson fight, I went to get food, but I heard
like,
it
I
wasn't
eat.
That good. But...
walked out.
Dude, Stephen Thompson, man.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
That was
now,
crazy. But
you had a run-in with CM Punk. It didn't go very well?
I had a run-in with CM Punk. I knew he was coming in on Thursday. So at 3 o'clock when check-in started, I hung out in the casino at the MGM. And I see him walk in with AJ, his wife, and so I waited for him to check in. And I had 2 8x10 photos that I wanted to get signed for my 8-year-old nephews. They're huge CM Punk fans.
Right.
So he checks in, he finishes.
Not for you, for the nephews?
No, it was definitely for them.
Okay.
I was going to personalize it to them.
Okay.
I just wanted a photo for me, just
okay.
Whatever. But so he comes walking by, and I had heard him on Colt Cabana's podcast of how to properly approach him.
Right.
So I walked up to him. I said, excuse me, Mr. Brooks. I'm Brandon. I'm a very big fan. I was wondering if there'd be any possibility you could sign these 2 for my nephews. I'm checking into my room and just kept walking.
Wow.
Then I saw him again at least 4 times in the next hour. And 2 of the times he walked by, he looked me dead in the eyes and just kept walking.
Wow.
Wouldn't even give me the time of day. Next day, same thing. Another friend went up to him. Same thing. Then I found out something that really ticked me off.
What's that? That he's in the UFC?
No, I think that Mickey Gall is going to take care of that one.
Okay.
But, so I have a friend who is in a wheelchair. He doesn't have a lot of movement. Like he can't really use his hands. He has a caretaker all the time. So he went to weigh-ins. CM came out to take photos and sign autographs for fans. And he goes up to my friend who's in his wheelchair and he goes, oh, do you want a photo? Do you want an autograph? He's like, yeah, I'd love a photo, but I can't take a selfie. Can you do it? And CM says, I don't take selfies, and just walked off.
Wow.
I was
a guy in a wheelchair?
Guy in a wheelchair.
What else? Did he kick 3 puppies on the way into the... It's horrible.
I was blown away.
Who would have imagined a guy that refers to himself as Punk would not be a nice guy?
Wow. Are you sure that wasn't part of the WWE kind of thing where like they're making him into a bad guy? The guy in a wheelchair comes out and...
You know what? No.
No, that's horrible.
He shouldn't be playing the gimmick anymore.
That's awful. Damn, man, fuck that.
It really bothered me.
I mean, I could understand, like, honestly, he should have said it to you. He should have given you anybody that ever asked. I'm not CM Punk, but I'd never refuse a picture or anything, obviously. But at that, I mean, you, I could, he's going to his hotel room. Like, I could sort of see it. I see why he should have given you the autograph in the picture, but I could see it. A guy in a wheelchair, I don't take selfies.
Yes, yeah,
I'm sorry, you could break your selfie rule to give a guy in a fucking wheelchair a picture. Was, come on.
Was he being, like, swarmed by people at the time, or was it, like...
When I saw him originally, there was nobody there, because nobody knew he was checking in. Yeah. I had a source that told me. At the weigh-ins were almost empty. With the lineup for the weigh-ins, we were there, I looked at maybe 2:30 before I headed to a different hotel to go do other things, and the line for the weigh-ins was maybe 50 people.
Damn.
There was, like, nobody at the weigh-ins. And he did that. His wife wasn't helpful either. I mean, I don't, they're just like still playing the gimmick. And it's like, yeah, dude, you're not in the WWE anymore.
That's whacked. Now, Shaney, let's talk about you for a sec.
Hey.
So I first met Shaney through Carla Esparza. I thought that you were her, maybe you guys were lesbians. Now she told me you were a fighter, which blows me away. What's your story? Where did you grow up?
I grew up actually in LA. I grew up in Manhattan Beach.
Nice.
Super old school.
Did you play sports in high school?
I was a competitive surfer in high school.
Really?
Surf team at Maricosa, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you do in surfing?
I was all right for a girl. I mean, well, yeah.
Now, were you like a popular kid in high school?
What's that matter?
I'm just wondering. It seems like you're this hot surfer where guys really into you.
I guess.
All right. So you guess guys were into you. And then now what, you go to college or?
No, I didn't go to college. I got married and had children right after high school.
You're pretty popular. If guys are knocking you up and you're 17.
Oh.
All right, so you're married. When did you get divorced?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. So you were married for how long?
We were together 5 years, married for two of them.
All right.
And then I have two children.
You have two kids with the same guy?
Yes, with the same guy.
He was like, fuck it, I got to keep you around.
I had him back to back. They're 15 months apart.
And when did you start training?
I started training when my daughter was two.
Okay.
I got really, really into it. I was training at an MMA gym. I was just trying to get back in shape. I was doing like the, you know, conditioning classes there and saw jiu-jitsu and decided to go try it and instantly fell in love.
What gym was this?
Team Quest.
Team Quest. In Temecula.
Yeah.
There was
a bunch of girls there at the time too. There's like five girls on the team. And
Michelle Old? Was she one
Michelle,
of them?
Michelle, yep. I got beat up by Michelle for 2 years.
Okay,
who else? Killed.
She must have loved that.
she was like the biggest.
Were you in her triangle all the time? And she was like laughing and like.
Oh, yeah, smashing me with her boobs, couldn't breathe.
Really?
I swear to God.
Now, was she enjoying this on like a different level or she was actually taking it seriously?
I don't know, Michelle.
Because she likes.
We have to ask Michelle. I'm just
she said she likes to fart in girls' faces during.
Oh, yeah, she's absolutely ridiculous. I love her though.
But, okay.
Yeah, she's.
All right,
good
Bubba Jenkins
partner.
Just showed up, by the way.
Hey, Bubba.
What's up?
So you were at Team Quest. Now, were the guys hitting on you at first?
Not really. I mean, they don't really. It's kind of unprofessional.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but that's still MMA gym. I mean, so
yeah,
so,
yeah.
All right. So when you were there with like Hendo.
Yeah.
And who else?
Jesse Taylor, Tarek. God, so many people were there. Tom, yeah.
Tom Galicio. Toothless Tom. All those guys were there.
Yep.
Now, what belt are you in jiu-jitsu?
I'm a white belt.
A white belt.
I don't train gi, so I've never been promoted. I have like a stripe or something. I don't know.
And how many fights have you had? You've had one fight?
One pro fight.
And how many amateur fights?
Zero.
So you went right to pro?
Right to pro.
And who'd you fight?
I fought this girl named Desiree Bliss.
Where? Was it a stripper? Sounds like a stripper.
It does sound like I don't know what her story is. It was at Saboba Casino, Gladiator Challenge.
Okay. And you won how?
Huh?
How did you win?
I won by armbar in the second round.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now you tried out for the Ultimate Fighter.
No, I didn't try out for. I was getting ready to try out. I got injured. I tore my abs and they completely split in half and I got an umbilical hernia.
Now when I saw you a year ago, you were pretty much done with fighting. You were bartending.
I'm still bartending on the weekends. I work four jobs.
What are these jobs?
I coach at a UFC gym and another gym called Long Beach United Boxing Club, and then I still bartend on the weekends.
Okay, and then you are training for a fight now.
And I train every day, yes. And I have my two kids, so yeah, I'm very, very
Damn.
Busy. Seven
wow.
days a week.
Now, is the dad helping with the kids?
Yeah, we split them half and half. So
okay, and then are you dating anyone now? Because last time I saw you came to a show with some guy. who, like, when I saw this guy, I was like,
no, no,
man, she doesn't have very high standards. I'm kidding.
Poor guy, he doesn't hear that. He's a nice guy. Yeah. No, not.
She's like, we're still together.
I'm dating someone else now.
Who are you dating?
Some guy.
Is he a fighter?
Bubba met him. No, he's not a fighter. He's a high school wrestling coach. He grew up in Paul's Verdes.
Oh, nice.
So we've known each other for a few years. We have a lot of mutual friends. He's a nice guy. He's actually a cowboy.
Legit
wears cowboy hat and cowboy boots.
So do you wear the cowboy hat during sex or no?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
He hasn't asked me to. I'm just kidding.
But if he had asked you, you would?
Huh?
If you had
started to answer.
The word would be dodgeball.
No, what are you teaching this? What are you doing, Baba? There's a quick cock block in the interview. All right.
The word would be dodgeball. Ooh.
So let me ask you, when you got that call
Hold on, what's dodgeball? Can we?
Dodgeball means I don't want to answer.
Oh, but, thank you. Thank you. You saved my life multiple times today. No. All right, dodgeball.
When you got the call pro fight, you had no amateur fights. When you got that call, were you like ready to rock or were you apprehensive?
I had barely been training at all. I'd probably been training like 4 months total. And I was like, yeah, let's do this.
So now you're at the gym with Bubba.
Yep.
Now what's it like training with Bubba?
Bubba's awesome. I mean, we don't get paired up really. He's training with the big guys, but it's being in the room with Bubba and with the other fighters in there
Does Bubba beat everyone up in the room?
Bubba's really talented.
That's not good. He needs to be in a room where he doesn't beat everyone up.
Bubba's very talented.
He should be the best guy in the room.
On all my off rounds, I'm usually watching, you know, him and Emmanuel and
nice.
AJ. See, Adam, what you don't
trying
know
to learn,
is
trying to see
that no matter what you're doing, if you're working to get better or if you are bettering yourself, it doesn't matter if you're beating up on guys or getting beat up. It's really about what's between your ears. You can go to a gym and get beat up every day and get beat up on and never get better.
Right.
And you can go to a gym where it's you and maybe one other person and get tremendously better. So shove that shit up your ass.
All right. Speaking of getting better, we're going to call a girl right now, Julia Budd, who she's 9-2. She's from Canada. She's the only girl to defeat Gina Carano in kickboxing. She's ranked number 3 in the world at 145. And she's in Bellator. She's with you, Bubba.
Nice.
But she's a very overlooked, underrated fighter. Like, you don't hear Julia Budd's name get fucking, and it pisses me off.
You're right. I have heard of her once or twice, but like you said, as far as the big picture goes, she's very...
And she's number 3 in the world, right? I mean, that's pretty hard to be number 3 in the world at anything.
Absolutely.
Especially fighting. So I'm going to call Julie right now. She's from Canada, too, which I love Canadians.
Hello?
Hey, Julia Budd, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Bubba Jenkins, Tyler Bowe, and Shaney Rush. How are you? What's going on?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Are you up in Canada?
Yeah, I'm over in Vancouver Island right now.
No, I love Canadians, by the way. I'm half Canadian. My mom lives in Ontario. So Canadians are very good people, and I find that the Canadian girls are usually down to have fun. Am I right?
Yeah, we do.
See, I was totally right, and interpret that as you will. now you are ranked number 3 in the world at 145.
Yeah.
You're the 3rd ranked, but we don't hear your name mentioned a lot. What's going on?
I'm just waiting right now. I know who I'm fighting. I just don't know the date or the venue yet, but I'll be fighting coming up this spring.
Are you fighting in Bellator?
Yeah.
I'm fighting
Marlos Kunin.
Oh, it's going to be a good fight. Good fight right there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Good fight. Two kickboxers, correct?
Yeah.
You're fighting Marlos Kunin. Now, why did you leave Invicta for Bellator?
I was just ready for a change. Bellator was talking about wanting to promote the 145 division, and I thought it was a good opportunity. And they're continuing to sign good girl star division, so it should be good.
Do you think that, how do you think that they're doing as far as promoting you?
I think they could do better.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too.
People don't even know they have a fucking division. This is ridiculous. Come on, Coker, let's get on this. This is,
I think it'll be the main event coming up, so it'll be good. It'll get a lot of promotion this fight, especially because we're two of the top at our division, and so it'll be a good one coming up.
That's good. Have they ever offered you Cyborg ever? Not Bellator, but when you were in Invicta?
No, they did. They offered Cyborg, I think, on my last one, the last fight that I fought for them. They didn't offer me her, but they gave my opponent to her.
Okay.
So I was supposed to fight Fiona, I forget even her last name.
Fiona
Luxlow
or something.
Girl.
Yeah.
And then they called me and they said Cyborg's opponent dropped out. So she's going to be fighting Fiona Muxlow and you have to fight this other girl. So
nice.
That's what happened.
Now, would you like to fight Cyborg?
I would. I definitely would. But my focus is on Kunin coming up because I know, you know, that's going to be my next test. And then after that, for sure, if she came over to Bellator, that fight would be one I'd be interested in.
Now you fought both Gina Carano in kickboxing, and then you fought Ronda Rousey in MMA. And people always think, like, who would have won that fight? Back in the day, people were like, oh, Ronda would have killed Carano. But after seeing Ronda against Holly Holm, people are going, well, maybe she wouldn't have killed Carano. What are your thoughts? Who would have won in that imaginary super fight between Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano?
I think Ronda would have still won.
Yeah.
I think that people are acting like Holly was just a boxer, and she's not. She's been doing kickboxing and MMA for years and years, and I think that just because she's so well known for her boxing, they kind of thought that she's just a stand-up fighter, but she's not.
Right.
You know, so she out wrestled her too. It wasn't just. It was a good fight.
So who wins, Tate or Holly?
I don't know,
Bubba.
I think Holm will win, but. Tate pulls through. Like she's good, man.
She's a survivor.
You know, Tate's hungry and she wants it. But I gotta give it to Champ. Usually when I don't watch him as religiously as like I watch some of the guys, I usually give it to the champ in that aspect because I think it's a little bit more mental on that side. Like a lot of times I see girls fight, it's the person who's mentally more aggressive, mentally more. I don't know how to describe it without like trying to sound sexist or anything,
right.
But a lot of times it's the more aggressive person who wins, and that's not always the case in men's.
Shaney, who do you think wins that fight?
Oh man, I'm a fan of Misha Tate, but I don't know. Holly's a beast, man. They're both beasts. So
yeah. I saw
Thanks, Shaney. Tyler.
I don't know, man.
All right, you guys suck. Listen. All right, back to you.
I saw Holly Holmes at the MMA Awards, and she was jacked.
She was jacked,
she
right?
She looked really good. She looks in fight ready shape. I mean, I know they're fighting what, March 4th, same night?
Yeah,
March 5th. And she looks tough.
Julia Budd's pretty jacked too. Your body is insane. Are you single, by the way?
No, I'm married.
Oh fuck! I mean that's great. That's great. That's awesome. Now, what does your husband do?
My husband's my trainer. He fought in UFCs, but now he's retired.
Who's your husband?
Lance Gibson.
Lance Gibson.
Yeah.
Nice. CB, you know who that is?
Yeah.
All right. There you go. What was his record in the UFC?
I think just 1-1. He fought in Shooto and other organizations after.
He's an OG, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool. Now, do you guys have crazy fighting sex?
Shut up.
All right, thanks.
That was
a yes. The girl here says yes. Nice. That's awesome. By the way, your double leg is insane. I watched like 5 of your fights last night, and you have a great double. I mean, you pick girls.
Thank you.
She has this thing. She goes against a cage, picks girls up, squats, and just carries them up and just dumps them on their head.
It's the way to do it.
You may have the best double leg in all female MMA. Am I correct in saying that?
Thank you.
I mean, what do you think?
Thank you. It's something I work on. My wrestling definitely has improved.
Well, I mean, you definitely have by the way, Canadian. You're from Saskatchewan, right?
No, British Columbia.
Oh, British Columbia. Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's wrong with Saskatchewan? All right. You fought Ronda Rousey back in the day. She got you in an arm bar.
Yeah.
She took your arm was in 12 different directions in that arm bar. How fucked was your arm after that?
It was pretty bad.
I mean, like what?
It was pretty bad. I shouldn't have tapped, but I was stubborn and I wasn't, yeah. I didn't think about the long-term consequence.
So
it took a little while to heal.
Yeah. I mean, did she break it?
No, it just dislocated in two different directions. So
damn.
Now you, a bit to heal.
You're a tough chick. You like kept rolling too. I was like, holy shit, you kept rolling in different directions. I was like rooting for you, even though I know the fight was going to be over because I watched it on replay. I was still rooting for you.
Thank you.
No problem. And then your fight with Amanda Nunes, that was the first time you've ever been stopped. How much did that fight change your life?
It woke me up. I think I just was like, it sucked. I mean, I was pretty, I was in shock afterwards, but it smartened me up in MMA. Like before that, I just was strictly a Muay Thai fighter. I wasn't doing any wrestling or I wasn't expanding my game at all. And so that was, it was a good kind of wake up call.
Yeah, no, that was a tough fight to watch. But since then, you've won six fights in a row. You've beaten some really good girls. I do feel like you need more promotion because your name should be in the discussion. Your name should be out there.
Thank you.
How hard now? Could you make 135 or no?
I don't think so. You know what? I might be able to down the road, but right now, like I walk around at 160 pounds and. So the 145 is a nice cut for me. 135 is pretty hard. I've got down to 140 before, and that was really hard. But I mean, with proper dieting and nutrition and everything like that, I probably could.
Now we have this young girl here, this young hot chick fighter with two kids. But she needs some guidance in her life. What advice, Julia, would you give to Shani Rush?
I'm not familiar with her. Have you fought before?
I fought once, yeah.
To tell her about the fight.
One time.
All right, she won.
I won. It was 3 years ago. I took a year off. I've been training consistently now and about to fight soon. Excited.
Awesome.
Bubba, you teach her how to talk smack?
I'm a nice person. I don't like talking smack.
Yeah,
talking
situation. Herself up. Okay, she weighed.
I know who she is. I respect her.
Put some steroids on your voice. Let's go.
All right, she's 115. What? How?
25.
You're 125.
Fighting at 25.
And yeah. Now, and who are you going to fight for? Do you know?
I'm not going to say because I haven't signed it yet.
Is it Combat Americante?
Can't say. I don't even know what that is, but I'm not going
to. No, they're signing all kinds of girls.
Confirm nor deny. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Combat Americante. Then they're signing a bunch of chicks. Combat.
I'm not saying anything till it's signed.
Back to Julia Budd's advice.
Okay. Yeah, Julia. So what advice for you, girl? So she said she's had one fight. She's kind of lost a little bit. She trains very hard. She likes dating guys a little too much.
I don't know if I'm lost.
But she's sweet. She's very attractive. Well, what advice would you be to how to make money in this business? How to sell herself? What should she do?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't really give her any advice. I can't. What organization does she fight for? Sorry, I couldn't hear.
I can't. I haven't said anything.
This to be disclosed later.
Yeah. Can't say anything yet.
All right.
Soon.
Okay. So after you beat Marlise Konnen, who are you calling out?
No one. I'm going to be the champ.
Oh, good. All right. You're going to be the champ. Julia Budd. After that.
I'm going to be the champ.
All right.
I'm going to be the 145-pound Bellator champ.
All right, 145 Bellator champion.
You and me nice. Both.
Yes, you and Bubba. Nice. That's what I'm talking about. You guys would have crazy kids.
Exactly.
Now, Julia, do you have any kids?
What?
No.
To the two married people.
Do you want any kids?
Yes, in the future.
In the future, okay.
Not soon.
All right, so your husband's your trainer. He's your full-time trainer. Do you have to work another job, or is MMA paying the bills?
MMA is paying the bills.
Nice. All right. All right, cool. Well, listen. You're a very sweet woman. You're jacked. You're fun.
Thank you.
You're a Canadian, okay? Which means you're nice. Maybe not. Maybe not that bright. Okay, listen. You got a lot of things going.
You're Canadian too.
I will admit I'm not that bright either. All right. So you're super sweet. You got an 8-pack. A very lucky husband. This Ralph. What's his name? Ralph Sampson. What's his name?
Gibson.
Oh, Gibson. Kirk Gibson.
Lance Gibson.
You and Kirk Gibson have some fucking nice kids. All right.
Oh, angry sauce.
One day. All right. You keep it up to good work, Julia Budd. I am a big big fan of yours. Big fan.
Bye, Julia.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. So sweet, that girl.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the girls are hard to crack when it comes to your questions. So I can tell you that.
Really?
You know, those guys are just like whatever, and then spits out answers without thinking, because we very rarely do we think before we talk, and girls are always a lot more reserved. So
yeah,
to conversate the way you conversate, definitely.
It's aggressive, Adam.
I think it would be converse, but okay, conversate's fine.
Yeah, to converse the way you conversate. Yeah,
yes, thanks. By the way, it was great seeing you at the award show, man. We had a good time.
Yeah, man. I was happy you saw me, too.
How funny was Hanato?
Yeah, that's why I kind of went with that route. No, Hanato was hilarious, man. You guys should have been there. I can't wait to actually see it on TV because, I mean, he had me rolling, man.
You gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah, I did.
Me and you were the only ones.
I think there's probably three people who stood up. me and you were two of those three. So, the other one was... probably someone he was joking. So, I think the way people didn't really know who he was or what he was doing, or, I thought that was probably one of the funniest parts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we know his background of the character he created. So it was awesome. I had a great time at the show.
And then we had an after party. It was good seeing your wife. Your wife cleans up well. Damn. And now
I told you I was going to have my trophy on my shoulder.
You did.
And she was blazing.
She got a booty, man. Jesus Christ.
Course. I mean, I'm black.
Dirty squats.
I'm black.
Yes.
Come on now. Let's not forget that I'm black. Okay. Whenever we talk, I know that I elocute myself very well. But yes. Let's not forget I'm black.
Yes. You like an ass.
I like that bounce.
You got a Shani, what features do you look for in a guy?
In a guy?
Yeah.
Blackness.
Blackness.
Do you date all black guys or no?
No, my boyfriend is not black.
Oh. Well, he's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy.
You can put two and two together.
What do I look for? Someone, they have to be athletic in some way, shape, or form. That's a must. I mean,
I'm fucked.
We have to work out together. you have to be intelligent. You have to be funny.
Again, you are
funny. I got one out of three. One out of three.
Driven is very important.
I'm driven, yeah. So let's talk about some of the fights that happened. Johnny Hendricks, I'll tell you.
I want to be excited for this.
I got to say, with Johnny Hendricks, when... I had gotten the picture of him the week before of how he looked. I got a little concerned because he looked too in shape, too ripped, too skinny, too thin. And I honestly think that that he looked weak. And I'm not taking anything from Stephen Thompson. Stephen Thompson's amazing. Hard guy to fight. Hard guy to train for.
Wonder
probably impossible.
Serious.
However, I think that Hendricks, either he should go up to 185 or he's got to do those crazy weight cuts where he comes into the fight at 200 pounds, and because he did not look, he looked lean, but he looked like a bodybuilder as opposed to how he looked in college, how he looked in his first couple fights.
Well, let me say something first. And go ahead, Tyler Bo.
I completely disagree. I thought from the picture, I thought he looked phenomenal, and I was going to say that's probably the best. As far as weight cut goes, I thought that was the best weight cut he ever looked, but then the worst he ever looked in the cage. And maybe his cut didn't go as well as it looked, but like he didn't look drawn out, he didn't look gaunt, but in the cage he looked sluggish, he was hesitant, and I don't know if that has anything to do with his cut or just the fact that Stephen Thompson just put it on him, but
he still looks strong. Now, the difference between the way he looked before and the way he looks now, he just looked in shape. And as a fighter, that's a good thing. But when you carry that weight around, you also carry that notion in your mind that you have that power, that hip power, that little bit of oomph in your belly and arms and shoulder that he didn't carry into the cage this time. But I do want to say this before I was going to say that. Tyler Bowe messed me up. Remember the time where it was the years of the wrestlers, where all the wrestlers were coming in crushing people, right?
Yeah, like talking about Mark Coleman years?
No. More so like, let's say 10 years ago, where all the wrestlers were coming in just crushing
the John
people.
Fitches and types of guys like the Jake Shields.
Just the type of wrestlers. When everyone was like, oh, what's the best discipline? What's the best discipline to have overall? And it was basically like out of the, how many championships are there? How many weight classes are there? I would say out of all of those weight classes, more than half of them were wrestling champions.
Yeah.
Even now, I think
still are. 8 out of 10, usually 7 out of 10.
Yeah, still wrestlers. I think that, karate stance motion kind of thing, that sideways look with the arms kind of flowy instead of tight. I think that's starting to make its way in. Like if you looked at Scoggins,
he looked
great, and he's got that same kind of motion that Thompson has and that same kind of motion that McGregor has, that sideways bounce, left, right, where they're almost not, they're not squared up to you. They're almost basically showing you a hip and a shoulder and a kneecap and an ankle, and they're moving that back and forth, back and forth. I think it's becoming that style of movement where mixed martial arts is moving into more of a good wrestling base, but a karate style of stand up. Because if you're accurate and you're fast, you don't have to be that powerful. Or you don't have to be, you know, the Johnny Hendricks of the stand up type of game. If you can move with guys where they can't hit you, and then you can attack at a drop of a dime with that type of stance, I mean, it's going to give a lot of people problems. And you're seeing that these karate style guys, not the Machida style, because it's a different style, but the Scoggins, Thompson,
are we
McGregor
seeing them
style.
Though? I mean, because Scoggins was a wrestler, he was a state champion,
a good wrestler with the style of.
But as far as karate guys that are strictly karate who have moved into MMA, we're looking at MVP. We're looking at
he's got that bounce too.
We're looking at Wonder Boy,
got that bounce,
and then Northcutt, who had just gotten beat pretty bad.
Yeah, but it wasn't a stand up.
So, I mean, is it a real... Well, and then Conor McGregor, I guess, so you could say him. So it's like three guys.
But I'm just saying it's starting to... You're going to see a lot more people start to move and try to emulate that. I'm telling you right now.
I saw the comparison, too, with Scoggins, and and McGregor's... He's just unbelievable, but he's got that same stance. But I think guys are starting to see, like, if you can hit and not get hit, like the wrestlers tend to be like these wrestler brawler types. Mm-hmm. And even in the past, we've seen the high-level strikers, like guys like Condit up at that level. They're like high-level strikers, but they'll still stand in the pocket and bang, mm-hmm. which is totally different than a guy like Wonderboy who's going to get in, hit his shots, and get out.
Yeah, no, it's a tough guy to train for. He's got amazing these spinning wheel kicks. However, I do believe that was the worst Hendricks I've ever seen. Yeah. That was the worst version of
his mindset was different.
And I got to say this guy Lou, we've had him on the show, Lou Trishan, but the two guys that I know in the UFC that he trained, and I'm not putting him down, okay? And I hope he proves me wrong, cuz he seems like a real fucking nice guy.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm about to offend somebody.
But the last two guys he trained, that guy, and he could call on him to defend himself, okay? I would love to have you on. But the guy, the first guy, the guy who won the Ultimate Fighter,
Psycho,
Big Truck, what's his name? Eddie Gordon.
Man, he's
looked
good.
Amazing
I'm
physically.
Psycho, that is.
But his last fight, he looked sluggish and weaker than he's ever looked. And now Johnny Hendricks looks amazing physically, but was the worst I've seen.
Well, I think once
I'm
they put it together,
blaming,
though,
I'm not blaming Lou. Okay, yeah. But he has guys looking great. But not necessarily fighting great. These two guys, and I'm sure Lou will tell me there's 500 other guys that.
But
out
not
there.
Only that, like Hendricks said after the interview, and I kind of understood him when he was like, you know, this is a new start for me. This is, you know, we're in the beginning of a new mindset, a new training, a new everything. Everything's new. You know, the old way was his habits of how he could conduct himself and how he can come in and be successful. Now he's trying everything new. He's getting out of his comfort zone, and therefore the comfortability of being in the cage isn't the same. So he has some. Mentally,
yeah, but this,
go is, to
this
a new
isn't
place.
Practice, though, man. You're in the act.
Yeah,
people
I mean,
are paying $800 to
though.
Come see you.
Right, but he's got the ability now. What, you're not going to see Johnny Hendricks' next fight? You know what I mean? Everyone's going to tune in for that. But
people aren't going to pay $1,000 to see it. I mean, fuck,
yeah,
what's the name?
I mean,
to
he's
be
not the champ anymore.
CD paid $800 for tickets. Okay.
Yeah, but that was before he knew that Johnny Hendricks was even the main event.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about what it was and what it turned out to be.
Yes, but okay, I understand. But I understand what you're saying. I'm a Johnny Hendricks fan.
Right. We just got to see him again.
He didn't look, but also training camp. He left Team Takedown because he got involved in a situation where, from what I know, allegedly, he was having to pay them a lot of money because they were like dividing everyone's pay. Everyone's pay. What's that? 50% of his money went to everybody else. So that was the Team Takedown rule. One for all, all for one.
Listen, they, I'm
so,
leaving
like
too.
They had like so all the guys at the Team Takedown would.
What you talking about? I'm out. What are you talking about? You going to get 50% of my shit and you're only bringing $500 to the table? Shit, nigga, be peace.
So that's what I heard. That's what I understood. That basically him, Jared Roschel, the other guys at Team Takedown, they were being financed by the guy in charge. They were being put up, but they all split their earnings.
Nope.
So Johnny's bringing in 90% of the earnings.
Nope.
Eventually he's like, fuck this.
I ain't going to do it.
So he leaves, but he doesn't leave and go to the Black Zillions. He doesn't go to American Top Team. He doesn't go to AKA. He doesn't go to your gym, the Body Shop. He goes and hires his own boxing coach. Mm-hmm. He brings in his own thing, and he trains with a wrestling team. And that's not the way to train for Stephen Thompson. I'm sorry. You can't. It's one thing if you're training for Mike, you know, Mike Pierce or a guy who we've seen similar things. You don't train for that guy by bringing in your own people.
Yeah, he looked bad and he lost, but that's hindsight. What if he had won? Then what were you saying?
Well, he fucked up my parlay because I had a 6-fight parlay.
Now we're getting to the root of it.
I had a 6-fight parlay going into that last fucking fight, dude, and I had won 5 of them. I had won 5 fights going into that fucking parlay, and then he's
so mad about that. Now this is the root of your evil.
Okay, there are a lot of reasons.
No,
okay,
we're seeing why you're so
fucking
pissed off.
Lutrition owes me money. Okay, fucking no. No, I like the guy Lou. I even like the wrong Lou that we talked to. I'm just saying that. Psycho. Get over here for a sec. What's your opinion on the fight?
Thompson Hendricks?
Yeah. All right, thanks, Psycho.
Hendricks, I mean, he came out, he was kind of bobbing and weaving. In terms of what you're talking about with Lou Giordano, I saw Johnny on Tuesday. He was 173.5, which is unbelievable for him because usually he's 180, 182. He actually went to bed, I think, Wednesday night at like 168, and then he woke up at 171. He wasn't doing his normal cut. In terms of Thompson, Thompson's a different breed of a fighter. Yep. Thompson was bouncing
around.
He was 2 pounds under 3 days before the fight?
2 days. 2 days.
That's a terrible weight cut.
Yeah.
Thompson was bobbing around.
No, I agree.
Around.
I agree with that.
He's never faced a guy like Thompson. Thompson fights you sideways. It's really weird to get in. He was trying to throw. Hendricks was trying to throw
like
punches.
I said that or anything, but go ahead.
And he just, I don't know. He didn't seem all there, but like he was backing up against Thompson. When have you seen Hendricks back up?
When he can't figure shit out. That's
exactly.
Going to be anybody.
Exactly, which I agree with your point.
Thompson's,
he didn't bring in the Thompson's right guys.
Thompson's going to put it on Robbie Lawler the same way he put
but
it on
But if Hendricks
Thompson.
Comes in at 200 pounds like he usually does, gains 30 pounds overweight, all right, and he's going in for those takedowns, and he's going up against the cage, that's a different Hendricks.
When you hold your weight like that, and I can tell you from experience, being light is one thing, but being under and too light and holding your weight for more than 48 hours at the actual weight class isn't a good thing to do. It's not. In hindsight, you're thinking, oh, yeah, you want to be nice and ready to go and have something to eat before. Bullshit. Bullshit. I call it bullshit only because you got to have that little bit of edge. Like, oh, I need that last workout to come and be on weight, sit on weight. You should only be, I mean, me personally, my mindset is you should only be on weight, the actual weight class, step on weight 5 or 6 hours. And then you
don't
go,
you think that if Hendricks comes in at 190, 195, like he usually does, it's a different fight.
And he has to drop 25 pounds?
No. Like he, it's a terrible, what I'm saying is kind of terrible.
Oh, you're saying after he weighs in and then comes into the cage.
Comes in a cage at 195 against Wonder Boy, it's a different fight.
No, I don't agree with that only because Wonder Boy's movement. That whole fight was about movement. It didn't have nothing to do with the power or the strength or the size or Johnny Hendricks. It was about the movement of Thompson.
So you think
Johnny Hendricks didn't lose that fight. Thompson won it.
I disagree. Right. You don't think that Hendricks comes at Hendricks at his best, it's a better fight. You think every version of Hendricks loses in one round, every version of Stephen Thompson?
No, but I think he still loses. I don't think he loses in one round, but I think he loses.
CB?
It's tough to call, but I think, and I wasn't giving Thompson the win from the get-go, but the way he came in and just controlled it, I think he beats him 9 out of 10. May not be the first round, but...
Stephen Thompson?
Yeah.
Okay, Shaney, did you watch the fights?
No, I was so upset I had to work. I honestly, I miss so many fights because I have to work and it sucks. So, I miss a lot.
Okay, but you know what? The pictures that you posted of you in yesterday and your gear, wearing a referee?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I had to break up a huge fight in the bathroom.
What happened?
Between like 10 girls and...
Wait, what? What happened?
I was in my referee. I was bartending. I was working.
Yeah.
There's a huge brawl in the women's bathroom.
Yep.
Huge brawl. And all the bartenders are like, Shani, go. So I'm pushing through people, like running, go in there. And I'm like, wait, I had a whistle. I swear to God, it's a true story. Because I'm dressed up as a referee. I like whistle really hard. I'm like, stop. Then the actual bouncer gets there and everyone's like, whoa, Shani, go back to the bar. Because some of the girls are like shoving me a little bit. I'm not going to touch them. But they all got worried and they're like, no, go back to the bar or whatever.
Why were these girls fighting?
Who knows? Why do girls fight?
I mean, it was actually
why
the
girls
Panthers
fight.
The Panthers were getting their ass whooped, and some of these girls were Panther fans.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I could just imagine Shani coming in the bathroom just kicking bitches in the chest like this.
It took everything I had not to. One of the girls got in my face and like shoved me.
Were there punches being thrown?
There was weaves being thrown. Weaves.
Oh, wow.
You know, white people don't know what
it was. Was it all white girls fighting?
It was all black girls.
All black girls were fighting.
And one.
Yeah, one girl got
tiny
dabbed
and
on.
tiny black guy.
One black guy was in the girl's bathroom?
Flaming gay.
He was
in the middle of all of it.
Why was he in a girl's bathroom?
Oh, no,
and he
didn't.
Got right in my face, called me the B word. I was like,
see, that's when you take out your phone.
He was like this tall compared to me.
That's when you take out your phone and you're a world star.
You should have
No, I didn't even have my phone.
You know what? Shani is one of the nicest and most unassuming persons. Like when you see her, she's just, oh, this is, you know, nice little white girl, a little skinny, you know. And then she puts on her gear and starts to go live. She will whoop your ass in the middle of a bar, straight up kick you in your face. And the reason half the time we don't go and she's like, oh, we never get paired up, is because I don't go with Shani because she doesn't have like a back it up button. You know what I mean?
Really? She goes too hard.
She goes Yikes. Hard, right? And she kicks very well. You know what I mean? So me being a Bellator contender fighter, if she kicks me in my head in front of all these guys, now I gotta go hit her with a body shot.
Now I'm
scrapping instead of, you know, trying to work with her. But at your working pace, she's gonna kick your face off.
Right.
So you have to go up to that level, and then you start to smash her. So you don't want that as competitors in the room. So I just watch her kick the shit out of all these other guys.
I get dropped too.
No, that's good. I love watching you know? Shani go with the younger guys because she's just kicking them in.
Hold on one sec.
We have a call in.
No. Let's because that's gonna fuck up everything. Tell him next week. Tell him, hey man, really sorry. We'll get you next week.
You screwed up, bro. Brodini. Broseph. Brody Roosevelt.
Right. I mean, because then
Brody. That's my son's name.
Brodini Shake.
Matt. Because we have the press conference at one in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he misses calling.
Well, we called him 10 minutes late. Still, we called him 3 times.
Yeah, we're gonna run through the rest of these fights.
Yes, run through the fights. All right, cool. Also, all right. Now, other fights that happened this week. Roy Nelson. You know, people got upset. You were sleeping. People were upset about the Nelson fight, but it seemed like who did he fight? Rochald. Just was scared to get hit. He was so scared of the power, which I don't blame him. I'd be scared too.
My man didn't defend. He ran.
Yeah, he was backing up the whole. I don't know if you can blame Nelson for the bad fight.
You can't blame Nelson because he wanted to get it.
He's one of my favorite fighters.
Yeah, he's very entertaining, and he comes to get it. Now, people are like, well, why don't you just run at him, kind of thing? See, you know, you can't be dumb.
He was stalking him, but he didn't want to chase him, and that's smart. But if a guy's running, then, you know.
He fought very smart. It was like, it's like wrestling someone who's stalling.
Yeah.
Completely, I mean, any good guy can stall their ass off, especially if they're a decent enough wrestler. This is the same kind of case. If you're a decent enough fighter, you can stall the fight out. And as bad as it looked for Rochald, it gave him the best opportunity to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you can say what you want. He sits there and does what the crowd wants him to do. He doesn't see round three. And if Big Country does what the crowd wants him to do, he makes the fight a little bit sloppier, and he doesn't come out as clean as a win as you would expect. Oh, why did he struggle with Rochald? Because he turned it into a fight that he's not used to. You know what I mean? So there was that bittersweet, but it doesn't make for a crowd pleaser. But as a fighter, it's just like, well, both of these guys are implementing their game plan, and now we go to the scorecards.
But I thought Rochald would use his wrestling more. I mean, he was a Division I national champion, right?
Yeah, he was. I think he was a 2-time.
So, I mean, he didn't wrestle like, well, he didn't fight like one. I mean, I understand why
you don't see that belly on Country? You get under that, bro. You might not be getting up.
Like Michelle's boobs.
That looks like a falling bridge. If you're going to double leg that, you're just going to get crushed under a bridge.
But you could single and turn quarters. He definitely didn't.
He could have done more. He lost the fight and it wasn't close.
Look like a guy that was dropped in sparring 2 days before and was like, fuck it, my chin's not holding up right now. So I do not want to get it tested.
He looked gun shy a little bit. For sure.
I was happy for Mike Pyle.
Yeah.
Mike Pyle won. We love having Pyle on the show. He looked great. At 41 years old, I mean, dude, he's a beast. Happy for him. Justin Scoggins looked great. Ray Borg is not an easy guy to fight. Scoggins looked great.
I thought he was the fighter of the night. Other than Thompson, obviously, but Scoggins, man, and he was saying, I don't know who I got to talk to. Don't put me on the bench no more. I want to fight the champ. I want to fight guy. I mean, and I know Scoggins, and he's a little firecracker. Like, you know, no pun intended. He's
fun to watch. He's a personality, man. In the cage and outside.
He was funny on the press conference. Yeah. I love that. Markovsky versus Benavidez. Speed kills. Benavidez is probably the second fastest guy in the division. I thought it was a pretty good fight, though. I thought Zach held his own. But
no,
you didn't think he held his own.
He had a couple of good takedowns and some you know picked him up and dumped him. But then Benavidez is right back up.
I think he just got ran through.
Really?
Only because if you look in his eyes and you watch the fight, the whole time it was just like surviving.
CB disagrees. CB, come on, CB's making a face behind you. He's like,
I can understand it now.
He's lighting a fire. He's murdering a pigeon right now. What's going on?
In my opinion, I feel like, I know Benavidez landed a lot more strikes, but I think Markovsky with the takedowns. I thought Markovsky won 29-28. I could have seen
Whoa. You thought that Benavidez lost this fight?
He was there.
I don't give a damn if he was in the cage as a referee. He ain't see what the rest of the world saw. Yeah, obviously, it was a unanimous decision. So, like, you're one of the only judges.
You know what? I thought Markovsky might have won 29-28, but I will say, I don't think Benavidez won all three rounds.
Stop it. Okay, you can go have your seat, Tycho. How do you do it, Adam? All right, Tycho, that's it. All right, however you cut him off, do it. Push that button right now, because I know, and I respect everyone's opinion because everyone sees fights differently. Everyone has a different bias in their mind. And, you know, a lot of times you just try to open up and see what the two fighters entertain you with. But I just thought Benavidez was walking through everything other than the takedown. He didn't
hold him down. He took him down, didn't do any damage. So it's like, yeah, it's not a takedown competition. It's a fight.
But it does count in the other guy's favor. The takedown was really nice. The one where he lifted.
He had good doubles.
Good takedowns. But that, to me, that was the only thing that he could muster other than being on the defense. I mean, he really didn't land any good punches. He didn't land any other than those two takedowns that I saw.
If you get outstruck 2-1, you're not winning the fight.
I mean, it was ugly.
So the Mickey Gall, Mike Jackson fight.
I didn't see that.
It was on Fight Pass. The fight lasted 40 seconds. Look, Mickey Gall looked great. He hit him once. Jackson went down. Fight was over. But then Michael Jackson... I know you're committed to your job. He then goes back to press row and starts calling the fights again. Like, I guess he has like a website. He's like part of the press. So he goes there. He gets knocked out in 44 seconds and then goes back to work commenting on the other fights.
Yes. He asked Mickey Gall a question at the post-fight press conference.
Really?
Did you see that?
Yeah, no, he was in the crowd?
He was in the press, in the media row, and he asked Mickey Gall a question.
Well, listen, some of us are just happy to be there. And, you know, you got to feed that, you got to feed the fam however you
can.
What
was his question?
So,
I think he asked him...
What was it like, punching me in the face?
No, I think he asked him just like if he thought the whole experience of the being in the Big Show, if that like was what he expected or something like that.
I think he's confused. That is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my first. I mean, imagine you go to a fight, you get knocked out, then you go press conference. Why don't you just ask him a question after he beats you up?
Like, it does.
Why doesn't he just take over?
You know how
Brian Stan's job.
You know how bosses are. Maybe his boss was like, "Listen, I know it's a big night. You got to fight, but you're still on the team,
Look,
kid."
He showed a hell of a job of professionalism. Okay, no matter what the stakes were, my man was at the mic doing his job, okay?
So his job was to win the fight.
His job was to show up, all right?
Showed up. I mean, but come on, man. You could take a day off work.
Not everybody is fighter ready. Not everybody
is a fighter.
His job
is his website.
Not all fighters are fighters. You get what I'm saying? Some people are just there to be there and say that they were there. Not all fighters are fighters.
He's the only guy to become a fighter so he can become a reporter. I've never heard of that before.
Hey, I think this is funny.
You need a stage.
There's all this shit talk around Sage Northcutt, and maybe it has to do with his pay and stuff. But then, like, I didn't see any buzz on. Like, I saw people talking a little bit of shit about Mike Jackson, but here's a guy who made his pro debut in the UFC, and guys aren't slamming him. Like, this is, I could see why a lot of fighters out there who have a solid amateur record would be frustrated at a situation like this.
Oh, yeah. But, Ben Askren being the Bellator champion,
hello?
Olympian yeah. wrestler, fucking 15-0. He can't make it to the UFC, but the guy who's asking questions in the press row gets to fight. I mean, that's yeah. kind of insane.
I can't wait. John Morgan's going to have a fight coming up. I'm really excited to see that.
He's got to cut some weight. Okay, I like John Morgan. But yeah, that is crazy. Anyway, we're going to have a press conference right now with your boy, EJ Brooks.
Yay, yay!
He's back on the show. He lost his last fight. I think he missed weight, too. Yeah, but this time he's got a fight. He's fighting an undefeated fighter. Shit. Yeah, we're going to talk to him right
What's
now.
What's up, Tyler?
I was going to ask, we didn't talk about the Misha Cirkunov fight. The dude proposed, weigh in, got his jaw
and then
broken.
Got snapped on. Yo,
yikes.
His jaw, I could hear it. It was bad.
We're going to talk about that.
That shit said, oh no, you won't be able to do what you're supposed to do tonight.
EJ?
What's up?
Hey, EJ
What's
Brooks,
good?
How's it going, man? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
What's going on, man?
How are you?
Happy to be back.
Oh, happy to have you back. You're here with your former training partner, Bubba Jenkins.
That's my dude.
A hot ass white chick who's a fighter, Shaney Rush.
Hey, what's up?
And even a hotter white dude, Tyler Bowe. It's a good.
Thank you.
How are you, man? So what's going on, EJ?
Oh, everything good, man. You said you got a hot chick there, man. Why are we not doing a video podcast?
I'm trying to get into the video.
Baby
podcast.
Steps, baby. Baby steps. We're moving up in the world later in life.
Yes, yes, yes. Now you're coming off a loss to Jason Novelli. Did you not make weight for that fight?
No, man, I didn't. I shouldn't even fault, man, to be honest. I was just, I don't even want to talk about that. I mean, I will if I have to.
What happened?
Well,
happened was.
Yeah, you know how black folks be. Yeah, but seriously, though, I actually popped up a staph infection on my arm.
Damn.
The weekend before the fight, and I got on antibiotics and against doctor's advice, I tried to fight, you know, and honestly, it was one of those situations where it wasn't a surprise that I wasn't going to make weight. So like people were like, oh, you didn't make weight. I mean, I kind of told the promoters like, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to make weight. I'm on antibiotics. I'm still trying to fight. And they pretty much told me I didn't have to fight if I didn't want to. But, you know, I was kind of overconfident in the sense of, like, I just felt like...
It was the press conference. I know. It was all that shit talking during the press conference. You're like, yo, I got to show up and fight. I know the pressure, man. I feel you.
And not even just that. Like, yeah, it was that. And then I really believe that even if I won 100%, I could just walk through this dude.
Yeah.
And then... I didn't.
Now I heard you got docked 10% of your purse for not missing weight, which cost you $4. Is that true?
I'll be fighting for pennies.
I know. I'm just fucking with you. Now, it seemed like the fight against Jason Novelli, though, you just couldn't get it started. Was it something mentally or physically? You weren't there. Or...
It was definitely all physically. Like, I went in there. I had a pretty decent warm up, and then within the first 2 minutes, I mean, because I pressured around the back. Like, I mean, if you watch the fight, it's on MMA Core. I mean, for the first like minute and a half, 2 minutes. I'm pretty much dominating. I mean, I'm not like beating him up or anything, but I'm dominating. And then I just felt like this kind of like cold rush, like hit my body. And it was like, I was like immediately zapped, you know, yeah. And it was just like I didn't have a hard weight cut. Like I stopped at 160, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I killed myself to make weight because I didn't make weight, you know? So it was just one of those things where, you know, I think I overestimated my ability to perform when I got in there.
Has that ever happened to you, Bubba?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what he went through. You know, especially being a first round, you're feeling great. You can have a shutout, but it all leads up to the preparation. If you don't know, you know, the difference between how you are normally and then the difference between having antibiotics. Antibiotics kill you for at least 7 to 8 days after you take your first antibiotic pill. So, I mean, to have that leading up to the fight, I mean, no matter if you took it on a Thursday before and you fight the next Sunday, you're going to feel residual effects to that antibiotic, and I commend them for still stepping in there, because you're not the same at all. I don't care what your mind's telling you, your body ain't gonna do what you wanted to do.
On when I stopped taking antibiotics, I stopped taking them the day before weigh-ins.
Jesus, man. Well, listen, EJ, man, you're a great fighter. Okay, you're a top-notch fighter. You're a Division I wrestler, and you've lost 5 out of 6 fights. But well, first of all, I mean, the Johnny Case fight you won, but they gave it to the other guy. But you're so much better than your record because you're taking fights on one day notice. You're fighting on antibiotics. You're having sex on the way to the octagon. You gotta start fucking. You gotta start taking care of yourself, man.
Hey, man. Hey. Oh, man. You saw my sex before the match. You don't even know how true that is.
How true is it? Tell us.
No, I mean, nah, my manager might be listening. He might find out some shit. I don't know. But no, I'm feeling you, man. That last one was supposed to be an easy one too, because he was not on my level, and I just made him go out there and look like an all-star. I mean, honestly, there was a point in time in the fight, well, a couple of times in the fight where I was holding him in a clinch, and I had like no energy, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, this guy sucks. I can't move. I can barely stand up, and he can't even finish me. Yeah. You know, and I was like, if I was actually fighting a pretty good fighter, I would be done because I can barely walk.
Right.
You know, like there were times I was surprising myself. I was like, dude, how am I making it through this fight? And then in the third period. I mean, I say third period, like it's a wrestling match. In the third round, I almost caught him in submission that if I had enough strength, I probably would have finished him. So it was just a frustrating fight, man.
Hey, man, it happens. The pass is the pass. You're fighting Ben Eggley, who's 7-0. He's making his he's a Titan FC fighter. You're fighting him March 4th. What's your plan against this guy?
Oh, well, first I'm going to pray to God and just hope that he just is done making an example out of me. I guess I did something wrong in the past life.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, you got the Job story going. Yeah, I feel you. Something happened to you.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, man, like, I just got the worst luck.
But yeah, EJ, you're a teacher. You're a school teacher. Okay, you banged tons of chicks at Mizzou. You wrestled for D1. You're now a professional fighter. You're living out your passion. And you're helping people. There are a lot of worse things you could be doing with your life.
Yeah, like losing, and that's what he's saying.
Life is good. You know, I think I got the trick now, okay? My high school coach told me once, he said, you can't be on top at all three things. And he said, it's women, it's your grades, and it's your sports career. So right now would be my teaching job, my fighting career, and my dating life as far as hooking up with a lot of chicks. But right now, I only got one girl, so I'm not really doing that great as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Can't ride two horses, man. Can't ride two horses.
Well, unless
you know,
you're...
Work is good, you know. I got one girl, so I guess now it's time to get back on top of things with fighting, you know, so...
Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's a great analogy your coach gave you. Great analogy. That speaks to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways.
What, did you can't be great at everything? That's terrible.
No. But it makes sense, though. It might be a terrible thing to say to someone, like, no, you can't be great at everything, but if it puts you in perspective, okay? You have your grades, like he was saying, and then you can say it's women, but it's actually your party life, your social life, how much you care about that, and then it's your career. when I started becoming really good at wrestling and a really good partier, my grades suffered. I was barely eligible to wrestle. And then when I was like, okay, let me get my grades up, and I was still a really good wrestler, I wasn't partying as much. I wasn't, you know, getting as much ass. And then when I started getting more ass and my grades were good, I started struggling with my weight cuts and my wrestling wasn't up to par to where it needed to be. So you eventually have to get off of one of the horses, get off of the mindset of, oh, I can do it all. I can, because you're going to spread yourself thin. And you're just going to be mediocre at a bunch of stuff instead of great at one or two things. That's where it speaks to you in a lot of different ways, Adam.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Thank you, Bubba. Okay, we are going to call. We are going to call your opponent.
Got to drop knowledge on this guy sometimes.
Ben Egli, who is
wrestling a wrestler.
He's wrestling a wrestler. He's undefeated. We're gonna get a press conference going here. I know it's gonna be good.
We got EJ on the line. It's gonna be good.
We're gonna get interest for the fight.
You already know.
Yes, Titan FC. Are you gonna watch Titan FC? Do you have Fight Pass?
Yep.
Really?
Hi, this is Ben.
Hey, Ben, how's it going? This is Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Bubba Jenkins, Shaney Rush, Tyler Bowe, and your future opponent, EJ Brooks. How are you, man?
Right on. Good. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Right on.
Now, you are undefeated in fighting. What's your background?
Yeah, so my big background coming to MMA was wrestling. Did that in junior high and high school, and had always thought, oh, it'd be fun to try MMA one day. So I came to MMA with a wrestling background. Kind of had some little bit of jiu-jitsu skills, is kind of from watching old fights and things like that. And then, I really took to MMA in general. Started training my striking a lot, 'cause I had never really done that before. Started learning how to box, I would say most people would think of me as a grappler. Really like jiu-jitsu a lot. Most of my wins are by submission and things like that. So that's what most people would know me.
Now, where do you train out of?
Yes, that's a long story, so I'll keep it short. So I'm a Gracie Techniques affiliate. I do most of my training out of the CrossFit gym that I work at. So I have practice partners and things like that that come to my gym to train with me. I have jiu-jitsu students, and then I have other training partners from other gyms. So if any of that makes sense, I'm a Gracie Techniques fighter. I bounce around a little bit, but I do the majority of my training at where I work.
But why not? But where is that?
It's in Tigard, Oregon.
Nice.
South of Portland.
Nice. Did you wrestle in college too or no?
I did not. I continued to wrestle. I went to Oregon State University, and there was some intramural wrestling, and I took kind of like a term of basically a wrestling PE class. So I continued to grapple once my official wrestling kind of career was over. I thought about walking on to the Oregon State wrestling team. And then my senior year didn't pan out like I wanted. So I said, oh, I'll take a little break. And then a year of not being in organized contact sports or martial arts drove me crazy. So that's when I jumped into MMA.
Gotcha. Now you have a record of 7-0. You're just running through everybody, but only one guy that you beat has a winning record. And that record was 3-2.
So he has a good agent.
So you have a great agent.
He's a great agent.
You're fighting.
Yeah, he does.
You're fighting EJ Brooks. What do you know about EJ Brooks?
Thank goodness for the internet now and everything like that. Seeing some of his fights and things like that. Tough guy. You know, he was on a roll. He's fought a lot of tough people. He's gone the distance quite a few times, so I'm expecting a tough fight.
And why are you going to beat EJ?
Why am I going to?
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of things working in my favor. All of my opponents have been finished. I'm always looking to win, by a stoppage of some kind. I'm always, controlling the center of the cage. I've got a significant height and reach advantage for this fight. And then just like every fight, I've been training my butt off. So I expect good things.
EJ, he's talking a lot of shit right now. Are you going to take this?
Oh, boy.
Are you going to take this?
Saying he usually stops people. He ain't going to be nothing different with EJ. Usually he's stopping people.
EJ, come on. Now, why are you going to beat him?
I don't know if I'm going to beat him, man. I could have sworn he said he do CrossFit. I'm done.
So you're not...
I'm like, man, dude. Man, I got a club fitness membership, man. I can't deal with that, man.
So you're not impressed by his CrossFit abilities?
I'm highly impressed, man. I can't... Man, I'm sorry. You know what he can do in 5 minutes? I'm like, man, that boy said CrossFit. I'm like, I'm done. he was dead serious. He said, hey, what do you train? That boy said, well, I bring people to my CrossFit gym, and you know. It wasn't even a joke. He was dead.
Ben,
hey, I like this guy, man.
Ben, so EJ is not impressed by your CrossFit abilities. Anything that you'd like to say?
Hey, you know, I mean, that's all right. I know CrossFit sometimes gets a bad rap about stuff. You know, CrossFit is important in my training, but obviously MMA and specific MMA training is the most important thing. You know, so, you know, strength and conditioning is something I always focus on a lot. You know, I don't just do bicep curls in the mirror. I do a lot of other things, you know, in that time, but, you know,
EJ, EJ,
I don't know, man.
He's still laughing about the process.
I got nothing, man. I really do. It's, I mean, gosh.
Where do you see the fight going, EJ? How are you going to combat his wrestling abilities?
All right. Because he was an intramural wrestling champion. I mean, I was only a Division I wrestler. So he's going to control the cage. He's obviously going to take me down. He's going to have a significant height and reach advantage. He fought more guys with winning records than I have.
Now, EJ, there's a lot. Is there a lot of pressure for you to like win this fight, though? I mean, this guy. I mean, it seems like you kind of need a win here. Is he back against the wall here?
I would say my back is always against the wall. I've been against the wall in the last 6 fights. No, I wouldn't say there's any more added pressure to win this fight than any other fight. Like I said, man, as long as I come in healthy and, you know, have the capacity to use my God-given talent, I don't see me having a problem with this fight. Like I said, I respect all my opponents when I go out there, all jokes aside. But he ain't fought nothing like me. He ain't seen nothing like me. He ain't trained with nothing like me. And if he's smart, he better call Jason Novelli and ask him how he really feel about that fight.
Right.
You know, because, I mean...
EJ, what gym are you training out of for this fight?
St. Charles MMA and American Top Team.
Nice. Oh, so you going to Florida for this?
No, I train at Tyron's gym out here in St. Louis.
Nice.
Tyron Woodley.
Yeah. I love Tyron Woodley. Now, is there, would you like to kind of... like beat a guy who's 7-0, has a lot of, who's starting to kind of, you know, would you like to be his first loss? Is that something you're looking forward to?
Oh yeah, most definitely. That's anybody, you know? And I mean, like I said, no personal, the funny thing is Ben seems like a nice guy, you know? I mean, but this is a business and unfortunately I want to beat the shit out of him.
Shaney, anything you'd like to say, Shaney?
Dodgeball. What's up?
So, he is correct. I am a nice guy, and it is a business. And you know, when the cage door closes, you know, we can high five or whatever after. But yeah, we're gonna fight each other, and Then maybe do a CrossFit workout after. Now, Ben,
you're, I mean, look, if you finish EJ, which is a very hard thing to do, not many people finish EJ, how far away do you think you are from making the big show, making the UFC, making the Bellator, kind of getting to that?
Yeah, you know, we feel like we've been close for a long time, and I think you said, you might have said 7-0 on accident. I am 6-0, so
6-0, okay.
I don't want to pump myself up too much, so... but yeah, we feel like we've been close for a long time. We were excited about Titan coming to us and signing a 4-fight deal with them. You know, you got to kind of take it one fight at a time, but, you know, I think with a good win here and then one more, I can't be too far off.
Yeah. Are you married? Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I'm married and I've got a 4.5-year-old son.
With a mistress on the side.
Congratulations. So how many times a day are you training?
You know, most days it's 2. Every once in a while, there's 3 in a day. But I'm usually try to get one solid day of rest in there. But it's pretty much a minimum of 2 a day, and you know, back and forth between you know, grappling, striking, CrossFit workouts, more grappling, more striking. You know, so I'm trying to mix it up, you know, be in the best shape I can be and keeping all my skills really sharp.
Ben, I heard you jump camps recently to CrossFit from P90X. Do you think that's going to affect you in this fight?
Well, I was, you know, we'll see. Before P90X, I was doing 8-minute buns and thighs. And, you know, that seemed to be working. I got some great definition and some good toning. P90X was tough, but I think CrossFit's the way to go.
Now, word on the street is that Oregon girls don't shave their vaginas. Is that any truth to that?
You know, they're doing a lot better at it from what I hear. Again, I've been married for a while. So, you know, that was 10 or 15 years ago. I would say that was a stereotype that was probably more true. But I think, you know, we're catching on. Oregon's pretty progressive and cutting edge, so... even though people think this is still, we still live in covered wagons and stuff like that. We do have electricity out here. We got TV, running water, all that good stuff. So
EJ, any comments on that?
That's unfortunate because, man, I was really looking forward to some post-fight action. You know, I like my girl's vagina like I like my president. Light skin and no bush.
Wow. Awesome.
That's a good one. I think you can find that here. I think you can find that.
Shaney, are you shaved or are you, how do you like your...
It's a pet. Jeez. Dodgeball. Dodgeball.
Fucking dodgeball.
I can't. My kids have Google. They're old enough to use the internet. I mean, they don't need to be hearing about their mommy like that.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
They need to be hearing about their...
They'll be scarred.
I want to hear about their mommy like that.
Yeah. First of all, you're...
I'm disappointed. You've been out here the whole time. You ain't talking to me. Do you know what my nickname is? What's wrong with you?
What's your nickname? EJ.
No one's heard the nickname. What's the nickname?
What's your nickname?
Oh, she know what it is. It's Pretty Boy. What's up, man? What's up?
Hey. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you mean your kids are one day gonna have to shave their
bubble?
Yes, sir.
You better tell her about me, boy.
I will inform her about how my man Brooks gets down.
Really?
Brooks tags the town. He paints the city red.
Really? Nice. You paint the city red. I don't even know what that
sounds
means.
Sounds terrifying. I'm terrified.
Sounds like you're in blood. nice. All right. Well, listen, this has been a very heated press conference. EJ.
Parting words.
Ben, so you think you're going to stop EJ in one round?
You know, I don't ever expect to win in the first round. It happens pretty often. I always train for the fight to go the whole distance, but you know, I'm known for getting the stoppage, whether it takes 1 minute or 14 minutes. So, you know, I'm going to go out there and press the action and look for a win, and I don't want to leave it in the judge's hands.
EJ.
I think I would win by three round dry hump.
Nice. So you're just gonna take him down and just grind him out?
Yep. I have excellent dry hump defense.
Whoa.
Very skilled.
He said, that ain't going to happen.
Like a teenage girl.
That ain't going to happen.
Are your fight shorts made out of denim?
You better ask my 8th grade girlfriend about my dry humping ability.
8th grade?
Wow. All right. R. Kelly's on the phone now. All right. So.
Back when I was in 8th grade.
Oh, back when you were.
Okay. Specify. You have to specify things. You get in a lot of trouble.
I thought all of a sudden we're talking to Tyga.
Wow.
So.
Oh, man.
This is going to be a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you both, you guys. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, EJ. March 4th, Fight Pass, Titan FC. I'm going to tune in. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Take care. That press conference is brought to you by Decipher. Book Decipher for long term today and use the code ROASTED for 10% off all services. And again, go to decipher.com and use the code ROASTED today. DI-cypher.com.
They help me with my mental coaching. I tell you what, they're really good over there with the fact that they help you push on the buttons that you need to push to be successful. It's a no-brainer for me.
I love it. Also, tip a fighter. Listen, fighters are underpaid. It is bullshit, okay? I hate the fact that, like, I have fighters every day calling me up asking for money. I have guys saying, hey, man, can I borrow 10 bucks?
I borrowed 20 bucks from you the other day, man.
Yes, he borrowed 20 bucks from me. Yes, so listen, go to tipafighter.com. Fighters, join Tip a Fighter. You're in the octagon anyway. You're in the cage anyway. Might as well make some more money. Bubba, thoughts on the press conference?
EJ's hilarious. He, the way he answers his question. Now, sometimes it may, if you don't understand his sarcasm, you might think that he definitely counted himself out.
It's
quite the opposite.
Yeah.
But I wish I could see the fight.
Yeah.
I'll slowly be taking someone's lunch money, so I won't be able to tune in, but I'll probably, you know, hit you up and ask you about it after my.
But what do you think based on the press conference of the fight?
The other guy sounds really confident, sounds really smart. Like he has a game plan. And all jokes aside, CrossFit, I mean, it's no different than circuit training in a sense. Yeah. So when you're in MMA training, a lot of times we do strength and conditioning, you do a lot of circuit stuff. So the fact that he's CrossFit training all the time definitely means he's in good shape, and he's got a wrestler in good shape is a real big problem to deal with, and chocolate that melts is not usually the best recipe to go against that.
Do you think that, is there a fear that EJ's lost too much lately? He's okay with losing versus
There is a fear of that. That can definitely be the case. I don't know if that's the case in EJ's perspective, because a person like EJ is always confident that the next win is coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if it gets grindy and grimy in the third round late and stuff like that, and it's just like, well, it's just another wave. I've been here before. Like you said, it comes to his mind. The dig deep and fight out of a bad situation already losing is not usually in the mindset of someone who's lost 5 out of 6.
Shaney, based on the press conference, who do you have?
Oh, man. I don't hurt anyone's feelings, but I don't know. I'm going to go with Pretty Boy.
Pretty Boy, the black guy? Because he's funnier?
No.
Now, how long have you been with this new boyfriend for?
Oh, very new.
The cowboy?
Very, very new. We're brand new.
What's brand new?
Like a month.
Oh, okay.
And how many... we've been seeing each other for a little while, but it's official.
Official?
Yeah.
Nice. So you're not seeing anyone else?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I'm loyal to this guy.
And then who do you think for this fight?
To this guy, not to all the rest of them.
Based on the press conference, I call it a draw. I'm gonna go for Ben. I mean, he's 6-0, and I know we were joking about the CrossFit, but like you said, it's circuit training. He's got a solid record, and as an Oregon guy, I like to root for the hometown boy. So he went to Oregon State. I went to University of Oregon.
Which is that naturally rivals, but
yeah. But yeah. You know what? I'm gonna root for the hometown boy. Like I said, he's 6-0, and he's got some momentum coming in, so I think he gets it.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's only beaten one guy with a winning record, and that record was 3-2. So it's not like he's a world beater.
No, but it's it's a step up in competition, and there's a difference. I think there's something to be said for momentum and
not momentum.
By the way, at the MMA Awards, Conor McGregor he won. He didn't show up. But he won Fighter of the Year, and
is understandable that he didn't show up.
But he made this speech that at the end it came on like he made it from his phone. I think while he was driving
live via his Lamborghini,
and he was talking so much shit
Colin, I'm about to feed you bums.
Yeah, I'm going to feed you bums and Verdum's the pussy.
Someone's got to take care of you guys.
Oh, God, it was really, really funny. I mean.
Yeah. When does that come on TV?
It comes on Friday.
On this Friday?
Yeah. Oh, on Fox Sports 2. I mean, I think people were like laughing, but at the same time, the fighters were like kind of annoyed because he called them all bums. And he's like, I'm sick of carrying you bums. But people were laughing. I mean, what did you think of the crowd response that was there?
Motherfucker won't talking to me. but no, I thought it was a mixed emotion type of reaction. Because like you said, they were laughing because even when Conor's serious, he says some funny things, yeah. You know what I mean? Even if it may piss you off, it's still kind of funny. And it's funny that like his mindset even goes to there. That's how confident he is. But on another stage, you know, knowing that he'll never fight the heavyweight.
Yeah.
And knowing that he will get smashed by even the 10th ranked heavyweight.
But as far as him saying to guys, listen to UFC, I'm sick of feeding you all you bums. Yeah. I'm sick of carrying you guys. Start picking it up. I'm carrying this whole organization on my shoulder. And the fighters were like laughing because it was funny. At the same time, it's like he's calling them bums. At the same time, he is winning. So you can't knock success. And he's winning quick.
Yeah.
I mean, knocking out Aldo in, what, 15 seconds or whatever it was? I mean, nobody's done that. Not even close.
I heard when John Jones saw that, he was pretty upset because Conor's got a valid license and registration.
Oh, that's funny.
And all that stuff. So,
Jones Cormier has been announced, right, for April? I don't know who wins that rematch. I mean, Cormier is more active. Jones has got to be like 240 right now. So he's got to lose 35 pounds of muscle. He hasn't been active. Cormier has. He's had all these distractions. At the same time, Jones did win the first one and has that mental advantage of knowing he beat him the first time. I think Cormier is going to be a smarter fighter, less emotional fighter. And I want to see what a relaxed Cormier can do against John Jones.
Especially when you have the recipe of already having taste of cookies, in a sense. You know, he's already known what John's going to bring to the table for the first time. And John, too, especially since he got the win. But the guy who usually gets the win almost, in a sense, feels like he doesn't have to do anything different. Now, he, being the champion that he is, he probably will adjust some things and make it a little bit harder for Cormier. But Cormier knows he has to throw out the whole game plan of what he had last time. Maybe stick with some things that worked for him, but throw out basically most of the fight and come at him a different way. And I think that kind of gives you the edge, especially you're a little bit hungrier.
So you're picking Cormier?
You are currently the champ. Whoa. Don't do that. You're just putting words in my mouth. Let's hear Cycle's perspective.
I'm picking Cormier. I'm DC all day, man.
You're picking Cormier?
I like him as a fighter. I like him as a person. I got a root for DC.
I got John Jones in this one.
And he drops the mic.
Really?
Yeah, and I also don't know if you guys know, but there's another title fight on that card.
Who?
Demetrius Johnson versus Henry Cejudo.
Really?
I do know that.
Oh, wow.
I do.
That's
know
a good
that.
Fight. That is a good fight. You got two Olympians
in
the main event.
I'm going with the upset of Cejudo over Johnson.
So am I.
Yes, sir.
They made that Saturday night, right?
I'm going with that also. I think Cejudo over Johnson. As far as Cormier over Jones, give me some time.
Yeah. I'm right there with you because I got to see these press conferences. We got to be like a week out. And then the podcast a week out before that, I'll give you guys my pick. But I still got to see more than, you know.
I got to watch the UFC embedded.
I told I was talking to Cruz this week, and I told Cruz that I definitely picked him after I saw the
embedded.
It helped me.
Jones, Cormier?
That's tough. I love the way Jones fights. But, I mean, with the press on him, he's not that great of a role model, so... I don't want to say him, but, you know.
All right, Tyler.
Like I said, I like DC. I cannot deny John Jones' skill as a fighter, his dominance. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm saying I like DC. I want to see him get the win here. I'm the same way. I have a hard time backing guys and rooting guys if I don't. If I don't like him outside the cage.
Yeah.
And I know I also believe in second chances and forgiveness, but it's not second chances. It's third chances and fourth chances. And I like DC. I mean, he's a great fighter.
When you hit a girl in a car and you run away from the scene of an accident, the girl happened to be pregnant. That's just, you know.
Did you see the news, though? He just got pulled over
to you again.
So it might be a probation violation. Just like this happened. What?
It was ruled this morning.
Okay. Well, he got caught, he got pulled over speeding, didn't have license or registration on him, and they were going to see if it wasn't a probation violation, which is you're saying it's not.
It was ruled not a probation violation.
Okay. Still. Still. How many times do just like, dude, like it's like I don't know this. I don't. This is a weird comparison.
Get an Uber driver.
What?
Get an Uber driver.
Well, or get have a license and registration. It's like this is maybe a weird comparison, but remember when T.I. got caught with guns? It's like, dude, you can have them, but you got
to
have a license.
He had like 75 guns, though. I don't know if you can really compare that to not having a license, but I do understand what you're saying. Jones, get your shit together. You're the best fighter in the world. You're the best, and I do think that Jones actually, you know, I think he has a lot of great qualities. I'm sure a lot of people that met John Jones think he's a great guy. I mean, a lot of those things probably were part of his probation. Okay, but however, you know, look. There have been some things that he's done really good, but he's such a good fighter. He's robbing the fans of seeing the best fighter in the world at his prime. And because of selfish, immature, and horrible things. I mean, cocaine, you want to do cocaine? I'm not even sure I think it's a horrible drug. I'm not into cocaine. You want to do it? That's not even the worst. It's when you hit a pregnant chick and flee the scene of the accident. I don't know if he knew she was pregnant, but whatever. Yeah. That's just fucking, like, that's being a coward. I've hit a lot of people
that's
in my car,
character.
And I've never fucking got up and run, okay? I've gotten a car accident. You gotta just be a man. You gotta just fucking, you take responsibility for your actions.
As a guy who knows both of them personally and spent some quality time with each of them, with Cormier, I did, training camp, preparing for the Junior World Championships out there in Colorado back before he started MMA. And I know him, ate lunch with him, talked with him all the time, you know. And then I did the Ultimate Fighter show with Bones Jones. We spent 7 weeks in Vegas. And I, at that time, I was his driver. So I had to drive him around and go places and stuff. And to me, now, Jones has done some immature things because he's still young. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people
yeah.
forget that Jones is 26 years old.
That's not that young.
It's not, but relatively compared to everyone else doing the things that they're doing and having the power and money that John has, the two is not good for a mix of maturity. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that young, but it also, I mean, he's been the champ and the man since he was 22 years old with those type of eyes on him kind of thing. So you're right. It is not that young relatively in everyday life when, you know, you only have $6,000 in the bank, but when you have $30 million in the bank and you're 25 and your brothers are in the NFL and you have all these people looking at you left and right, you know, to get pulled over without a license is not the biggest thing in the world unless you're John Jones and you just had violations like he's had.
Yeah.
So the mix of those things combining with the fact that he is as great as he is, it really puts a microscope on the small things that he does. And there's some big things that he does that is obviously like, you can't do that. I don't care who you are type of situation. But knowing them both out of the cage, they're both good guys. Now, like, you know, John has his problems with, you know, some things, but he'll take a picture with you. He'll laugh with you. He'll joke with you. You might not even know him, and he can give you a resonance of, oh man, that guy's really cool. I want to hang out with that guy. And Cormier as well. He's not the bougie type to, you know, I'm the champion, get in line before you shake my hand kind of thing. They're both good guys. So I can't really say, oh, well, one guy's more role model-y than the other because I've had my mix-ups with Cormier
right.
more than I had with John Jones, you know. So it's a definite. When I look at the fight, I take that part out of it because I know them personally both outside of the cage and I can't implement who's going to be better in the cage because of who they are as role models outside.
CB, have you ever met John Jones? And what was your experience like with John?
The first experience was at the MMA Awards back when they were at the Hard Rock and he wasn't too friendly, but I met him again after 184. He was cool and then he was at the Fit Expo at the Convention Center a few weeks ago. And he was really awesome to all his fans. Even before signing, he was running around giving everybody high fives, joking around, choking some people for like photos and stuff. And he's
nice. All right, cool. Well, there you go. There you have it. So listen, people, I want to thank our sponsors, Decipher. Listen, Decipher has recently raised the bar for management professional sports. Their firm represents fighters, assisting with contract negotiations, public relations, managing your fan base, and obtaining sponsorship. Everything you need taken care of while training for your next fight. Not only do they provide next-level comprehensive management and support, but they allow you to keep more money than any other agent or manager out there. while offering one-on-one mental coaching to keep you primed for success. So check them out, decipher.com. Also, tip a fighter. Fighters are underpaid, okay? It's a problem. It's a real problem when you got guys who are ranked number 4, 5, 8 in the world and they're Uber drivers, okay? Or chicks are bouncers, or Shaney Rush has to work 4 jobs and wear cowboy hats during sex, okay? So, this
hey,
is...
I never said that. That's never happened.
Okay, she can't even afford a razor to shave, all right? So, listen, go to tipafighter.com. They will take care of you. Tipafighter.com, okay? Usually, fighters, you can get paid. We can pay fighters for fighting, okay? You like the way someone fights? Throw them money. Throw them cash.
Tell your favorite fighters, too. A lot of these fighters aren't knowing that their fans want to help them out and show them the support that they have. So, you know, you got to tell your favorite fighter. I'm actually in the process of redoing my profile page on there, making it real exciting. So, I'm, you know, you guys tune in to tipofighter.com to look at the updates in our profiles. We're going to start, you know, making highlights and stuff like that. It's going to be tight.
I love it. I love it. So, next week, this Friday night, I will be at the Dirty at 30 Comedy Club. What casino is it?
It's at the, hang on a sec, South Point.
At the South Point Casino. This Friday night, 12:30, Dirty at 30. Wednesday night, I'm at the Hollywood Improv. Also, this Thursday, if you're in LA, me, Bubba, Tyler, and Greg Wilson are doing a MMA Roasted Live at the Improv. 6 to 7. MMA Roasted Live at the Improv. Come down. It's free. There's drinks. Okay. You can meet Bubba. Grab his ass if you're guys. He loves that. He loves it when guys hug him. Okay. Grab his cock. Okay. Bubba loves it when random guys grab his cock. Okay. So definitely check that out. Anything coming up, Bubba?
Besides defending myself on Thursday, man, I'm just excited. I'm super pumped about my March 1st fight. I'm not going to say that the winner gets the title because they have not told me that, but we're the next two guys up. You know, Gaioti is ranked number 3 in the world at 145 in Bellator. So, you know, to beat him, it would be really big. So I'm focused, man. We're less than 30 days out. You can see the cotton mouth starting to dribble in as my lips get chapped as hell. But, you know, the weight's coming down well. The conditioning is amazing. You can find me in your local sauna or hot tub or on the internet watching Gaioti Emoji.
Nice. And Shani, what do you have coming up?
I can't say.
Awesome. Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram and it's Shani Smash.
Shani Smash.
Yeah.
Shani Smash.
That's basically where you can find me.
Okay. And Tyler, what do you got coming up?
I'm looking forward to the live podcast Thursday. I'm going to be out in Erie, Pennsylvania doing a college gig at Penn State Berend.
I've done that gig.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
PSUs. Awesome.
The temperature for the forecast is high of 9. So that's going to be fun.
Well,
but
good
anyway,
luck with that.
Yeah, that's my
Been
weekend.
There.
And, then we'll just be back at it.
Also, hit up CB Gold on Twitter. CB Gold, CB the Grenade, right? Instagram, CB the Grenade. He will answer any of your MMA questions. He's very bored. Okay, so
He's
hit him
good,
up.
Good, man.
But he knows everything about
Psycho
fighting.
Psycho has an index in his head that goes the size of the Great Wall of China.
He's the Rain Man of fighting.
He knows exactly what's up.
Yeah, people on the underground, there's a thread going, CB Gold, you're like one of us. Come join us. Did you respond to that?
I tried to.
Don't sign with them. Be original. You're on your own. You're your own man, CB Gold. You're your own man.
All right. Team roasted.
Well, thank you guys so much. Next week, we're going to have Matt Schnell. He couldn't come on today because of the phone. And then next week, we also have Chaz Skelly. And I think we're going to have Wonder Boy on next week. So we're going to talk
yay,
to him.
Yay.
So thank you guys so much and have a great week. And thank you, Sideshow Network. You guys are the best.